Hi guys, Dimple here. Welcome to iloverealestate.tv. Now, today it's very prudent that I talk about taxation. Not exactly everybody's favourite topic, but I'm afraid it's one of the things that they say is an absolute certainty: death and taxes. So let's talk about taxes. Now, at this time of year, it's very important to make sure that you are having a pre-year-end review with your accountant. Now, why would you do that? Well, there's a lot of things that can be done leading up to the 30th of June that can potentially minimise your tax bill. Now, you know, you might think, oh, well, you know, I'll deal with that when I talk to my accountant. But the trouble is, when you're talking to your accountant, you're generally after 30 June, which means you're in July or August or September or whatever it might be. And then it's too late. If there's some tax planning that needs to be done, it needs to be done now, not after the 30th of June. Nothing can be done then. I mean, the best thing you can do after 30 June is go back and amend 2 years' worth of tax returns, but that's not very nice either. If there's things that need to be done to be put into place, then now's the time to do it. So I've got a whole bunch of things here that I thought we might talk about as ways to minimise your taxation obligations, and also the things that you might like to put into place before the 30th of June. Now, while I'm saying all of this, obviously I'm speaking now as an accountant. And as an accountant, what you try and do is minimize your client's tax bill. But let me say this before I get into all of these tips to help you minimize your tax bill. I want to ask you a question. And the question is this: do you actually want to minimize your tax bill? Now, you might think that sounds like a silly question, but let me explain it this way. When you're minimizing your tax bill, what you're actually doing is reducing your taxable income by claiming a whole bunch of tax deductions. Generally, that's what we're talking about. But really, is that your desired outcome? Because let's say you're going to go and buy an investment property this next year. Well, you might not want to have a lower taxable income to be showing for serviceability to go and get a loan. So there's a medium ground there. Now, I'm not saying, you know, defraud the tax office. Absolutely not. But there may be some expenses that you may not want to put through, or you may not want to bring forward into this financial year in order to have them tax deductible now as opposed to in the future, if you're trying to get a high taxable income to be able to service for loans. So it's a bit of a two-way street. It's one of those juggling things that you try and manage as an accountant and as a taxpayer. So I'll leave that question up to you. And what we'll do now is we'll go through some of the things that you can do to actually reduce your tax bill. Now, one of the things to understand about tax is timing. Timing is very important because there are some expenditure that you could voluntarily bring forward. What sort of things would they be? Well, for instance, if your car is a tax deductible item, you may consider replacing the tyres now as opposed to doing it in July, because you get the tax deduction benefit earlier than you would have anyway. I'm not talking about going out and getting spending a whole heap of money that you wouldn't have normally spent anyway, but certainly spending things that are going to be tax deductible and just bringing forward some of that expenditure into this financial year as opposed to next financial year. The next one on that I might just talk about while cars are on the brain is leases and those types of things. Leases and loans. Let's talk about that as a topic. First of all, leases on cars and equipment and those sort of things. If you needed a new piece of equipment for your business, or you needed a new car which was part of your business deductions or your personal deductions, you know, now might be a good time to go out and take advantage of the sales, as well as pick up the expenditure in this financial year. However, let's just look at what that actually means. If it's a depreciable item, what benefit are you actually getting? You're probably only getting a benefit of, a little bit of depreciation, like a 1 or 2 months worth of depreciation on the vehicle. And that's really not a lot. Sure, you can probably claim the GST back if you're GST registered and those sort of things, but it's not a big deal. But what you can do is actually take out a lease. Now, if you were to lease the vehicle, then your lease payments are going to be tax deductible in full. Now, on a lease arrangement, you can have a short lease, so your payments on the car might be quite high, for instance. And the other thing you can do is you can prepay up to 12 months in advance on a lease agreement. So don't get confused with lease and hire purchase, because in a hire purchase, it's basically a loan. So it becomes the interest that you would then be repaying or paying in advance, which you can do as well, but I'll get to that in a minute. If we're talking about a lease, you might take out, say, a three-year lease, and you might decide to make 12 months lease payments in advance this financial year. You can do that. And by doing that, what you're actually doing is bringing forward the lease payments into this financial year. So that's a great way to have a significant tax deduction this financial year if you need it. You know, if you've had that higher income spike this year and you wanted to even it out over a couple of years, that's one way of doing it. Interest works very similarly, except not the whole payment is going to be tax deductible, only the interest component would be. So with the interest component, it would be, you can prepay 12 months in advance. You can do that on investment properties. You can do that on hire purchase on equipment. You can do it on basically anything where the loan has been taken out in order to buy something that is used either in your business or for income producing purposes. So that's a great way of actually, bringing tax deductions into this financial year. While we're talking about assets and that sort of thing, let's talk about capital gains. Now, capital gains is levied when you sell an asset and you make a gain on selling that asset. And depending, you know, if you've held it for more than 12 months, you might be able to get a 50% exemption and things like that. But what you might also be able to look at is in your portfolio, you may have assets that are actually sitting on your balance sheet that have actually made a loss. So if you've sold something this financial year that's had a capital gain, you may want to get rid of some delinquent assets that have actually got losses attached to them and sell them in the same financial year. And the reason for that is because capital gains can get offset against capital profits. So if you make a profit this financial year and you make a capital loss this financial year, a capital gain and a capital loss, what you can do is you can actually offset the two before you have to pay any capital gains tax, etc. So for instance, say you had some shares that had lost money. Notice I pick on shares. Let's say you had some shares that had lost money and they're just sitting around here. Oh, well, they'll come up one day. Well, if you've sold a property and made money on selling a property this financial year, it may be time to consider, well, let's sell those shares, capitalize the loss and offset it against the gain, and then rebuy something that produces you, you know, your more money in the future. Whereas if you leave the selling of that delinquent asset, I'm going to call it, into next financial year, you can't use the gain to be offset against the loss in another financial year. It has to be within the same financial year. So have a look at your balance sheet. Have a look at the assets that you've got if you've made a capital gain this year and see what you can materialize as capital losses to offset the two. Very good tax planning to be done at this time of the year. The other thing I'll mention before I get off capital gains is that capital gains tax, it's the only section of the Tax Act that actually works on settlement date to settlement date. So if you sign a contract on a property to sell it this financial year, but it doesn't settle until next financial year, then the capital gain is actually assessed in this financial year, even though you don't get the money until next financial year. It's a bit of a trap and it catches out a lot of people. I mean, it's a timing issue in that, you know, you're going to have to pay tax on it anyway. But, you know, if you're planning on the bill not having to be paid until perhaps 2019, because that's how long you can defer your lodgement of your tax returns, you might be incorrect, because we've got to bring it into this financial year now, even if you haven't got the money yet. So this is where option agreements and things like that really become very, very handy, because it pushes out the actual contract date until next financial year. So consider that if you're in the position of selling a property right now and you don't want the capital gain in this year. Prepaying expenses, this is really a little bit of an add-on from the timing that I spoke about before, but particularly if you've got investment property, you make and you want to bring the taxes down a little bit, you might consider prepaying your rates, prepaying your interest like we talked about, you know, strata title levies, insurances, landlord insurance, that kind of stuff, or even income protection insurance. Those sort of expenditures can be very handy to be brought forward. As too can repairs and maintenance. You know, if you're going to fix the fence or you're going to renew the carpet because it's old and worn, well, consider doing it in the next couple of months where we've got, you know, a couple of months before 30 June year end to be able to get those things done and bring forward that expense into this financial year. Something that I really want to talk about here, which I do go into a great deal of detail at my boot camps, is in borrowing expenses and in particular financing expenses. So if you've paid mortgage insurance or you've paid stamp duty on your mortgage, you've got mortgage broker fees, perhaps you've got bank fees, you've got lodgement of the title, the mortgage on the title, all of those sort of fees, they're all borrowing expenses. So make sure that you're accounting for all of those expenses. And they get accounted for over 5 years. So if you're refinancing this year, make sure that you claim everything that hasn't been claimed on your previous financing in full in this financial year, and then look at the next 5 years, amortizing any refinancing expenses over the next 5 years. Very important, not something I'll do specifically now, but really, really important to take up with your accountant. Another thing to take up with your accountant is depreciation. Now, depreciation is one of those great deductions, which is a tax deduction for not spending any money. Now, it is a it's a little bit of a gimme and then they take it back, because when you sell the property, any depreciation that you've claimed on the building itself actually has to be added back for capital gains tax purposes. And you might say, well, why would I claim depreciation when I've only got to add it back in capital gains tax? Well, the reason for that is that even if you don't claim the depreciation deduction, the tax office is going to deem that you have claimed it, and consequently, they're going to add it back into the capital gains tax anyway, because you could have claimed it even if you didn't. Stinks, doesn't it? But that's actually how it works. So bear that in mind. Now, to claim depreciation, you've actually got to have a quantity surveyor's report. Really important. And a quantity surveyor's report typically costs somewhere around $200, probably $400 to $800. And you might go, well, that's a big expense. It is, but there's a lot of very good quantity surveying firms out there that will actually guarantee that they will make you up more in tax deductions than it costs you to do the report. Otherwise, they'll do it for free. So that's a pretty big ask. And they go through and they basically look at your property and say, okay, what would it have cost to build that fence when it was put up? What would it have cost to build that house? What would it have cost to put that kitchen in, etc., when it was built? Not what it would now, but when it was actually built. And then they work out what you can claim either on a prime cost or a diminishing value basis of that particular cost item. And you can continue to use this report forevermore. It's not something you have to do every year. You do it once. It's a fantastic report. And it really, they pay for themselves. And you can't claim depreciation unless you actually have a quantity surveyor's report. The next thing that I want to talk about is your accountants in general. Now, a lot of accountants have templates that you can ask for. You know, they have templates for rental properties. They have templates for business expenses. They have templates for personal deductions and things like that. So I'd be ringing up your accountant and asking them, do they have any templates that you can use as a guide for claiming tax deductions for your specific field? Now, while I'm on this, I'm going to direct you to the tax office website. The tax office website is actually very, very good. They've even got YouTube clips on what you can claim and things like that, particularly for individuals. So if you go to www.ato.gov.au and you go to publications and then you go to occupations. You can go in there and you can actually print out a whole booklet of tax deductions for your particular job or industry or business, etc. Now, they're very, very comprehensive, and I'm sure no matter what business you're in, you'll be able to find a booklet of tax deductions that you can actually claim for that particular industry or job that you're actually in. So really, really good, useful tool. And there's lots of other good, useful tools in there as well. You know, the booklets that they've got on rental properties are quite good. The booklets that they've got on GST are quite good. So there's quite a lot of things there that, you know, you can have a look at. And it's a good idea to spend an evening instead of watching crap on television and actually spend an evening scrolling through and having a read of some of the publications that they've got, because they've really put a lot of effort into it and they are quite good. The other resource, of course, that I can direct you to is my Tax Secrets of Property Millionaires Exposed, which is a whole booklet of a book on tax deductions for rental properties and investors in general. So that's a really good guide as well. The other thing that I draw your attention to is when you have a negatively geared investment property. Not that I like negative gearing by any stretch of the imagination, but I know some of you have got them. It may be worthwhile talking to your accountant about varying your PAYG withholding. What does that mean? What it means is that they can actually lodge a form with the tax office that says, look, instead of claiming this big tax deduction at the end of the year when I lodge my tax and then getting a refund, what we can do is you lodge a form that says, look, my estimated tax deduction is going to be X, and therefore let's not take out so much out of my salary each week to give me the cash flow in order to be able to cover those negative gearing expenses, which, believe me, hurt. So talk to your accountant about that. Now, look, if you've got an accountant, that's great. If you haven't, use one of mine. You know, I've got accountants right around the country, and you can tap into their services. Or, you know, all my students use my accountant, not all of them, but most of them use my accountants. They use my financial strategist, and they really tap into the resources of the I Love Real Estate community. And that's one of the benefits of being a student and being a member of the I Love Real Estate community. So talk to Knowledge Source about how that would work and how you can become a member of the I Love Real Estate community. Superannuation is always a good thing to think about this financial year. If you're in business, you're going to have to contribute for your own superannuation anyway, for what, you know, 9% of what you're actually paying yourself as a salary. But it's also a good time to think about salary sacrificing into superannuation if you're a PAYG income earner. It's also a good time to be thinking about, should I be putting in a lump sum? You know, over a few years, if you put a lump sum into superannuation, and it varies depending on your age as to how much you can put in, but let's say it's around $25,000. You know, you only have to put that in over a few years. Say you're a husband and wife and you each put in $25,000 into superannuation over a couple of years. That means you've got $100,000 sitting in superannuation. And superannuation is a great vehicle for you to be able to invest for the long term and to produce long-term benefits for pensions and all of those things. That means that, you know, you could go out there and buy a property, because superannuation funds, self-managed superannuation funds, can actually borrow now. So you could go and even buy a property in your self-managed superannuation fund, you know, and it only takes a few contributions over a few years to actually get that in. Make sure you understand the caps, as in, what you're allowed to put in. For instance, for the 2017 financial year, the superannuation cap is $30,000. and it's going down to $25,000 from the 1st of July. So it might be a good idea to pop in a little bit more now rather than, you know, you'll be limited as to how much you can put in next financial year. Now, what I'm talking about here is concessional contributions, and concessional contributions are those that somebody is claiming a tax deduction for, whether that's your employer or whether that's you, somebody is claiming a tax deduction for it. Now, just one other thing, if you actually over, if you're 50 or over, then it's not $30,000 up to June 30, it's actually $35,000. But again, that will be coming down after the 30th of June. So watch that. You can also put in non-concessional contributions. Non-concessional contributions this financial year are going to be around $180,000 per person. So you could put in significant amounts. If you've sold a property or something like that, it might be a good idea to be putting in larger sums of superannuation into superannuation with a view to buying assets in super that can provide great pensions for you. Because again, those limits are coming down after the 30th of June. So make sure you talk to your superannuation specialist about what the rules and regulations are around those sort of things. There's also some rules and regulations around, GST GST and capital gains tax, and there's too much to go through right now on those two topics alone. But understand, if you've done anything this year, you know, if you've built a house, if you've sold a house, if you've if you're considering buying one, if you're doing anything in the property industry, you really should be getting in and having a pre-year-end review with your accountant, because they can go over all of these things with you, and you might need to be registered for GST and you didn't even know that you needed to be. You might have built an investment property and was just going to on-sell it and pay tax on the money that you made out of selling it. And you think, well, I've paid my taxes. But in actual fact, there's a GST rule that says if you build a new property and you're the first sale of that property, as in when you sell it, it's the first time it's ever been sold of that new property, you actually have to remit 1/11th of the sale price to the tax office in the form of GST. Now, that puts a big hole in your profits if you haven't accounted for it. Now, obviously, you can claim input credits for what it costs you to build the property and those sort of things, and possibly on the land, depending on whether you're selling and buying it under the margin scheme or not. Whether you're buying it from a registered seller or not. But they're the type of things that you need to sit down and go through with your accountant, because really you could be missing out on lots and lots of money. I was talking to a student the other day who had built a new property. It was investment property, and they rented out the property, and their intention was to keep the property. But things happened and they got short of money, and in the fourth year, they actually ended up selling the property. Now, this is pretty sad, because one of the rules around selling a property for the first time is that if you keep it and rent it for 5 years, then you actually change the nature of the property and it becomes a second-hand property, not the first sale of the property, and you don't have to account for GST. Now, that was what their intention was when they built the property. So they didn't claim any of the GST on building the property through the building contract or any of that. And then because hard times came and they had to sell it in year four, then they had to remit 1/11th of the sale price to the tax office. And the sad thing is that they couldn't then go back and amend previous tax returns to claim back the GST on the construction, because you can only go back and amend tax returns for a maximum of 2 years. And they were over that 2 year mark as to when that expenditure went through. So very sad. It cost them a lot of money, but it was a good lesson, I guess, for you guys to learn and to know about, because these kind of things are very important. And if you need to be really using your accountant who knows their stuff, you've got to be using accountants who are experts in the field in which you're in. And if you're in real estate, you need accountants who are investors themselves. You need accountants who are doing this stuff day in, day out. And all my accountants obviously specialize in property and investment and investment and business and things like that. The other thing I'd caution you on is logbooks. So if you are claiming your vehicle for a tax deduction, you need to make sure that you've kept a logbook for that that vehicle. And the logbooks need to be kept for a minimum period of a continuous 12 weeks. Now, of course, once you've done that logbook, it's valid for the life of the vehicle or the car, or until your circumstances actually change. So you have to account for how much is private and how much is business, and then that percentage in your logbook is then that percentage that you can use for claiming fuel and claiming your the tires or anything that you spend on the car, and of course depreciation on the car itself as well. Now, when you're going through and doing your tax planning, it's a very good idea to actually make sure that you do a complete financial review. So I would be not only making some time at this time of year to go and visit my accountant, I would be making some time to go and visit my finance strategist, my mortgage broker, and actually sit down with them and see where you're at. You know, loans and things like that change on a regular basis, and it's a good idea to make sure that you are on the right kind of loan with the right kind of interest rate and all of those sort of things to make sure that, you know, you are really maximizing your situation as much as possible. So, tax planning this time of year is absolutely paramount. And, you know, I hope some of the things that I've gone through there have been of a little bit of help for you. But your accountant should also be having discussions around, you know, just your general outcome. I remember years ago I was talking to a client of mine. I was in the accountancy practice. And I was just chatting about his life. And because I was trying to, you know, find out information about him so that I knew how certain aspects of his life could actually be tax deductible. And I remember this particular client because he didn't think he could claim anything. And by the time I'd finished with him, there was a lot of the things that he did as part of his normal life that were actually tax deductible and were an integral part of him earning his money. And I remember at the time it resulted in something like $130,000 tax deduction to him. Obviously, he earned a lot of money, which he didn't think he could claim. And that was found out simply by me asking a lot of questions to this particular client about his lifestyle and where he was going, and he was having a trip to Europe. I said, "What are you going to do over there?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going to a conference." And I said, "So we're claiming that?" He said, "Oh, I didn't think I could." "Absolutely, your client can." And we put all that in, and there was huge amounts of stuff there. So make sure you go and at the end of this podcast, go and make an appointment with your accountant, pre-year-end review, it's called. They don't cost a lot. And really what you're doing is you are preempting some of the things that are going to happen between now and the 30th of June. It allows us to do things like put into place bucket companies, you know, a corporate beneficiary of a trust where they only pay tax at 30 cents in the dollar, and if your tax is higher than that, some of the income may well be able to be diverted into a bucket company. But you can't set up a bucket company after 30 June and use it this financial year. So these are the things that are very timely and they have to be done at this time of the year. Another thing before I finish on trusts is that if you have any trusts of any description, all of the allocations of who's going to get what out of the trust, so the distribution of the funds, minutes have to be done prior to the 30th of June to state where that money is actually going to go. So you have to sit down and do those with your accountant again, and all those minutes have to be done and formulated and finalized before the 30th of June. So another very good reason why you need to be out there and actually getting all of this stuff done timely. Now, the accountants are going to be very busy this time of year because everybody else is out there having their pre-year-end review. So pick up the phone, give them a call, and make sure that you allocate some time to go through all of these decisions, because the way you make money is to think like a business. Now, even if it's only one investment property that you own, it's a business. You need to start treating it like a business, and the more you do that, the more efficient you're going to be and the more money you're going to make. So guys, that's it for me. I hope that's helped. A bit of a tax tip session for you this morning. And so listen to those, make those appointments, and I will be back again to talk to you very soon on another podcast on my ilovereallestate.tv or website. And make sure you subscribe to iTunes because they come through to you free and you can have them come to you automatically. And tell all your mates. If this has been useful to you, tell all your mates. Get them all on board. Get them all out there making money in real estate. Talk to you soon, guys. I'll be back again to talk to you very soon on another completely different topic. Talk to you again, guys. Bye.